Welcome to Torah Timach Hanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. This is Shalvi Friedman, and today we're studying Sefer Iyov Perek Lamed Zayin. This is the final speech of Elihu, the fourth friend of Iyov, and this will bring to a close, really, the dialogue component of Sefer Iyov, until we begin next Perek, where Hashem gives his answer to Tzadik V'Ra'al. And what we'll find is that God's answer, perhaps, is going to line up very beautifully with Elihu's answer. And that makes sense, because Elihu is seen as the friend who gives the satisfying answer. And we know this because Iyov is silent after Elihu speaks. He is quieted, and there's a stillness which comes with the acceptance of the words of Elihu. The perek begins with a continuation of where we really ended off last perek. If you remember, last perek, we ended off talking about the rain cycle, rain and water and how Hashem controls the rain. And we looked at that from the one perspective, which was the perspective of Rashi, which was really focused on the importance of tefillah, dialogue, and human beings' partnership with God in bringing the rain. Here we're going to look at the rest of the rain description, not from that perspective, but from how the other commentators read these psukim, which is that this is a description of how Elihu defines his relationship with God. He says, Pasuk Aleph, Af lazot yecherag libi, for this my heart trembles, v'yiter mimkomo, and it jumps up from its place. What is he talking about? He's talking about rain, right? And he's talking about the sound. For example, Pasuk Beis, Shim'u shamoa boroges kolo. I hear God's voice in the terrifyingness of what specifically? This is a reference to thunder. Vehegemi piviatza. And it's almost as if we're hearing Hashem, but at the same time we're hearing thunder. Tachas kol hashamayim yishrehu, and all of heaven, he comes down. V'oro al knafot ha'aretz, and his light, and here the light is the lightning, on all the corners of the land, there is a thunderstorm, right? V'acharav yishag kol, and afterwards you hear the cry of the voice of the thunder, or of Hashem. Yirem b'kol go'ono, it cries out in all of its glory, in all of its might. V'lo ya'akvem ki yishama kolo, and it doesn't get deterred. Everyone can hear its voice. This description of a thunderstorm is really the point that Elihu is trying to make. This, says Elihu, is what moves me. This is what makes me tremble. This is my spiritual inspiration. This is the bedrock of my faith. My faith is not built on the fact that I can answer the deep, mysterious questions like, why do bad things happen to good people? The big questions are the cherry on the top, but they can't undermine my faith, because my faith is based not on the big theological things, but where I see God evident in nature. My husband, personally, is a Baal Tshuva. He became religious when he was later on in life. And when I asked him what made him believe in God, he told me flowers and chocolate. He said, it can't be that nature is so colorful and so beautiful and so full of so many things that are delicious and enjoyable, and there's no God. If that's the foundation, if the foundation of everything is in nature I see God, in the world I see God, then everything else I build up beyond that, right? And this idea of the thunder and the lightning continues in Pasuk Hey, where Iyov says, Yarem el bekolo nifla osav. God cries out or thunders out in the voice of his wonders. I see Hashem in nature, right? Ase gedolos velo neda. He does wonders, and we do not know. The way we simply understand that, the Mitzvot David says, explains there's things we understand and things we don't. Malbim takes us one step further and says, and what are those things, v'lo neda, that we don't know? They are the theological things, the questions of Tzadik V'Ra'lo. I have such a tangible, lived experience of my relationship with God that those things that lo neda, that we don't know, it's okay, those don't bother me because they're above me. They're above and beyond the very fiber of the relationship itself. And so he continues to describe the thunderstorm in Pasuk Vav, and he says, Ki lesheleg yomar heve aretz, v'geshem matar, v'geshem mitrot uzo. which means for the snow. And now we're getting another form of expression of God through that which comes from the sky, the snow. Hashem says to the snow, come down, be on the earth. And the rain and the matar, another type of rain, right? He tells to come and express the power of God's might. Pasuk Zayin can be understood in one of multiple ways. Pasuk Zayin reads, "Beyad kol Adam yachtom, in the hand of all man it is sealed. Leda'as kol anshe ma'asehu, to know the actions of all of man." And the question is, what is this got to do with the middle of a rainstorm? And there are a couple of different ways of reading it. The one way of reading it is the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra says, "What is sealed in the hand of man is the outcome of all of his actions," meaning Hashem can make it rain, but we're the ones who sow the seeds, and we are the ones who are going to gather in at the end of the season what grows as a result of those seeds. Once again, reiterating this partnership relationship between nature and God's control of nature and us and our free choice. The Metzudas David reads the word yachtom not as sealed, but as hidden, like chasum, it's hidden. And therefore he says, God controls nature and we can't prepare ourselves for what's going to come. This is almost a comfort to Eov. There's only so much you could have done, Eov, because we can't prepare ourselves for the way that God is going to interact with us through nature, which we'll talk about in a little bit. The way that Rashi reads this is the very traditional way of understanding, Beyad kol Adam yichtom, everybody signs their own destiny. When we go up to Shamayim, even though we can't comprehend how Hashem works on this earth and why we receive what we receive down here, but when we end our lives and we go up to heaven, Hashem will show us a list, an accounting of all of our averas, all of our deeds, and we will sign off, so to speak, on the outcome and the punishments or the consequences of our actions. And so Elihu continues to describe this storm, and he says in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Va'af b'ri yatri achav, even on a beautiful day, a clear day, bari from the word barur, Hashem will toil and make a cloud come, yafitz anan oro, and it'll or here once again, meaning rain, it will burst forth and it will make it rain. Hashem decides how the world runs. We don't really understand it, but he is the one who can change things from one minute to the other to be something entirely different. V'hu misibot mitafech b'tachpulotav, Hashem, with his command, can turn things around, literally, lepa'alam, to act according to God's desire. Kol asher yitzavem al penei tevel arza, everything that Hashem commands is what's going to happen on earth. And the way that Rashi reads this very beautifully connects to the next pasuk, which essentially Rashi says, Hashem decrees, yes, Hashem decrees on Rosh Hashanah what will be. Let's say there's an entire generation that's deserving of rain, and Hashem decrees on Rosh Hashanah that they should have rain. And then what happens? After Rosh Hashanah, they start sinning and they don't deserve the rain anymore. So Hashem will turn things around according to his will so that it will still rain. Hashem can't change the decree of how much rain was already decreed on Rosh Hashanah, but it will rain in places which are not helpful to the humanity. It will rain on mountaintops that don't have any produce. It will rain at the wrong seasons. Hashem will manipulate nature in order to align with that which human beings deserve. And that's what Pasuk Gimel really drives that message home when it says, Im la shevet. Sometimes it's for the staff, for hitting, for punishment or consequences. Im la arzo. Sometimes it's directly to the land. Im la chesed yamtzi'ehu. And sometimes it's for kindness. And Rashi reads us as the three different ways that God could treat his previous decrees in accordance with our current actions. Sometimes it'll be shevet. He will switch it for the justice and will treat us in a way in which, like the rain, we said, the rain will fall in an unhelpful way. Sometimes the arutz, it'll be exactly as God decreed in the exact way it should be. Im lechesed, but sometimes he'll go out of his way to add extra kindness to a human being because that's what that human being deserves. And so all of this description of the nuanced relationship between God and nature and how nature itself is a vehicle to encounter God brings Elihu to turn to Eov and say, Ha'azina zot Eov, listen carefully to this Eov. Amod v'hitbonen nifla'ot el, stop and ponder the greatness of God. Hateda besume loka alehem. Do you know when God decides to make the rain fall? Hofia or anano and make the clouds come and the rain come? And here the Rav Schwab suggests what he's really asking is, do you know, not when rainfall comes, but when your own personal rainfall, when your thunderstorm that has befallen you, do you know why? Do you know when? If you can't even explain the very basic functionings of nature, then how can you understand why God is making your reality the way that he has? And so he turns to Eov once again and he says, Hodienu, let us know, Eov. Ma nomar lo, what do you want me to say to God? Remember, Elihu opened his speech saying to Eov, I am like you, I am human, and at the same time I represent God, and I'm approachable. And I'm not here to demand that you listen to me and you keep silent and hear my answer. Rather, I want to have a conversation with you about what is and isn't. And so, if I'm approachable, if I'm someone you can talk to, then Hodienu, tell me, and I will talk to God for you. Mano Marlo, what do you want me to say to Hashem? Hayosuparlo ki adaber? Do you want me to actually tell him what's going on? Is it necessary to speak to God? Im amar ish ki yevula. Yevula means to be swallowed up, and there's a couple ways of reading this. Either it's swallowed up, meaning the reality is hidden. Do I need to tell God something that's hidden? In other words, nothing is hidden from God. Or maybe yevula means I'm suffering, I'm being swallowed up. Do I need to explain to Hashem that I'm being swallowed up, that I'm suffering? We don't need to verbalize to Hashem what's happening, because Hashem knows. And here really is the message which he's driving home again and again in these nature imagery and the rain and the relationship we have with the rain. The messaging here is, Eov, you're in constant dialogue with God. You don't need to go to court with God to see him. You don't need to stand before him in judgment. You have a relationship with him. He knows you. He sees you. You are seen and you are heard. This goes back to what we keep saying, the maturation of Eov and the development of the Sefer, is that we go from the big theological questions to actually saying, no, what about the relationship? We switch from justice to crying with the widow. We switch from that which is fear of punishment to yiras haromamus, to fear and awe of God in a different type of relationship. And so Pasuk Chaf Aleph is read so beautifully by the Malbim when it says, Va'ata, and now, lo ra'u bahir hu b'shechakim. You haven't seen light so far because your friends have been demanding answers in such a binary kind of way. But hu b'shechakim, but there are answers. There is God and it's up there. V'ruach avra v'titarem, and the wind has passed and purified the air, and now you can see the truth. Now you can understand what's happening. And so the Malbim continues to read Pasuk Chaf Beis in the most mind-blowing way. It says, Mitzafon zahav ye'eteh. Which means, from tzafon means the north, or tzafun means hidden. From the hidden places, gold will come. El eloka norahod. And the splendor of Hashem is awesome. Now here's what he's going to say. We've said up until now that the hiddenness of God is what creates the opportunity for free choice. We've spoken about that many times in the Sefer. Because Hashem is hidden, that's what enables us to choose to make decisions or not. If God revealed himself in everything, then we would have no free choice. But here, according to the Malbim, Elihu adds something else, which is the hiddenness of God doesn't just allow for free choice. The hiddenness of God allows for a relationship with God. Because when I understand everything and I comprehend everything and everything makes sense to me, then I just have a relationship with me. A real relationship with the other is when I manage to remove my own ego, remove my own self and say, you know what? I don't get it. This doesn't make sense. And I love you because of and despite that. That's what it means, mitzafon zahav ye'eteh, from the hiddenness, from this place, the space in which I can't find God, that's where God will appear, that's where the gold comes from. That's when I get to say, wow, Hashem is awesome, and the word norah is built on that word yira, which we spoke about. And the Malbim says, this is really what yira is. Yiras haromamus, the yira that we want to have of God, the fear we want to have of God, is, as we said before, the way the Maharal explains it, is a carving out of oneself, where I remove ego, I remove self, and I say, Hashem, fill me. And that can only happen in a place in which things are not known and things are, cannot be rationalized and understood in the perfect way. And Pasuk Chaf Dalet, the words of Elihu end so beautifully, where he says, Lachen, therefore, Yireuhu Anashim, people see God, lo Yireh Kol Chachmei Lev, dafka, where they don't have all the wisdom and all of the answers. We're starting to see, we started off the Sefer by talking about how there's answers of the head and answers of the heart. We spent the vast majority of the Sefer talking about answers of the head. But now we realize that the essence of the answer has to be found in the heart. In fact, it's actually about saying, because we lack the answers of the head, that's what creates opportunity for even more answers of the heart. This is how we have a relationship with Hashem. We find Hashem where we don't find the answers. Rather, we find the stillness that allows us to come to peace with the things that we don't know. Now, Hashem is ready to speak to Eov, and we'll tackle that tomorrow. Our learning today was sponsored by the Nachyomi Chavruta, in loving memory of David Hanan ben Michael Verachel, whose short years, despite immense challenges, were filled with Torah, family, and joy. His life left an indelible mark on our community and beyond. May the schus of our learning give his neshama an aliyah, and may his legacy continue to inspire.